It's kind of crazy just how much I lost myself.
I had songs. I always had my little Kelly Clarkson singing her song, or Pink singing, and like Bruno Mars singing his song, and everything felt okay.
It's not bad after all.
No, did that. I found that it was really, really fun. That was the beginnings of me learning how to like record myself and like to produce and like, oh, okay, so this does that. But I kept my nursing job, and then end of 2018, I like had found a stride like in Chicago, just like going to.
I'm not mad, I'm not sad, I don't want to back. I'm surprisingly calm, and in fact, I feel better. It's kind of crazy just how much I lost myself while I've been so busy.
You're feeling calm. I mean, you're dressed in like purple pants. You have a bright pink sweater on. How has this like entire week been for you? Have you been writing new music? Have you been resting? What have you been up to?
I feel that time has become very slippery and I'm losing grasp and my feet are slippery and the floor is moving. And everything is flying around and I'm just trying to like grab as much as I can.
What does that mean for you? Like the ground is moving, the floor is slippery, I'm trying to grab on as much as I can.
It feels so busy, I guess, and like so many things to do, but also like so many new fun opportunities. And it's like I think managing the balance of like saying yes, like understanding that yes comes with like energy, you know? And I feel that I'm learning like what priorities are. I can't just like say yes to anything and everything. And with that, because I'm learning, I like trip and I fall and I do the same thing again. And there's the part of me that gets angry at that. But you know, you keep trying, because what else are you gonna do?
Yeah, it's hilarious to me because I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think as an artist, you start to create and craft music and perform because it's one of the reason why a lot of people, from my experience, get into artistry is music and creativity is one way to express yourself in ways that you couldn't otherwise say in words. Because being able to express yourself in a really fluid way is hard to do without like something creative. And so now that more opportunities are coming your way and you're getting more chances to speak about the craft and the art, is it overwhelming to have to rehash your process, to have to like say yes to more opportunities?
I don't think it hurts rehashing. I think it's always like such a blessing for me to get to like share that magic and I think that, you know, like I'm ready to share all of these. There was a different point in my life where maybe I was just like sitting on these songs, but I wasn't quite ready to share them, maybe because it felt like I was rehashing it or something. But yeah, I feel like I'm ready to share this and find connection in that.
Yeah.
And see what that phase is.
Yeah. For people who don't know who you are a music artist. You are extremely open about writing about your parents' separation, your own breakups, like losing yourself in a relationship and then forgetting a sense of identity. And so I've noticed that a lot of your songs have a very simple melody, but they have so much soul to it, where I wonder if that was your intention. Because whenever I listen to your music, like the opening of one of your songs is, it's kind of crazy just how much I lost myself. That is something you hear a lot in conversations with friends, but the way that you sing it, the melody is nuanced. And so tell me about the writing process for you, because you talk about sitting with the music, but I'm wondering what that looks like for you day to day when you're crafting a song, when you're writing something, when things are coming out of your life and you're reflecting on them.
You know, I really like that question, by the way. That's so sweet.
Yeah.
But I think that there are days where songs just come out of me, and because of, you know, like literally what I'm going through or I'm feeling in the moment. And when those days come, I make sure that I remember that song. And it just so happened that I was just at home and off, and there was a keyboard just ready to be played. And around that time, I was like listening to, like, I think it was like around the pandemic time, but I was like listening to late 70s songs, like by the Carpenters and Roberta Flack and Simon and Garfunkel, you know? So it's like in that world. And so I was like learning to play these different chords. Because before that, I was just like C, A minor. Now I'm like G minor 7. Beautiful. Yes. And like, and also like finding my voice. So this was the first song that I feel like I found a voice or my voice, but I feel comfortable singing in this. And the words just kind of fell out of my mouth because of, I was observing my parents' divorce and how you lose yourself. And that's a big part of your identity, especially if you've been together for a good time. And then you get to be by yourself. And then, maybe you realize that it's not bad after all by yourself. And maybe she's cool. And
I love what you just said about that song was one of the first songs where I feel like I found my voice, because there's so much irony in that, like writing about your parents' separation. But I like to believe that there's beauty that comes out of the suffering, because it's almost like it unveils a part of you that you didn't know existed. So tell me about that discovery of finding your voice as an artist, because one of the things we both share is we both aren't from the United States, but we immigrated from the Philippines to the US. And so I feel like you saying that it took you a while to find your voice, there's a deeper story behind that. Can you unpack that for me?
These are the best questions.
Thank you.
These are like journal prompts. Here we go. Yeah. I'm going to open my heart now. I moved here about 10 years ago from the Philippines.
10 years ago.
10 years ago. And so weird. And I moved. And now looking back, and I moved like at such a special, like, transition age, 16 to 16. 17. Like, I was like, I finished high school. I thought I knew what my life was going to become. Applied to colleges, blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
And then my dad, who was living here, my parents lived in the States for a very long time. And I grew up in the Philippines. My grandma raised us. But my dad stayed here, and my mom had come back home already. My dad was like, finally, like, oh, your petition is ready. You guys are coming to the States. So
holy cow.
That had, I know. And that had always been the plan, right? Like they were always talking about like when you guys come to the States, blah blah blah. Sure. I don't really know what that means.
But it's such a different experience. It's like I can't imagine being in high school or in the Philippines, that's your last year of high school, 16 or 17, your last year of high school. Most people take exams in the Philippines to like see if they can get into colleges. And then you don't get to do that. You have to be new in a different country. That's wild.
Exactly. It was like I had my whole life, like this thing that you have in your mind. I have my whole life figured out. I've got my plans. All of a sudden, you get plucked out of that plan and get put in a new country. And
Were
I
you
mean,
already
Philippines
doing
is,
music?
I feel that singing had always been a part of me since the
Okay.
moment I woke up, maybe.
But
Like, always singing.
you didn't find your voice. Like
Yes,
so like
exactly.
this I have so many questions, but I'll let you finish your story. I keep interrupting you. Go ahead.
I was just singing always. So I got plucked out of my life and into the States, and that was cool, and that was very new and scary. And I'm glad that I got moved here, that I moved here with my brother, who's like 2 years older than I am, because we kind of figured a lot of things together. But a part of that was, now looking back, I see how quickly I assimilated and had to like get rid of like so many things I feel that made me stick out. Like I feel like I had to like assimilate quickly to be in the society, which is kind of weird to say.
What was the
But
first thing that you noticed was different about you?
I mean, even just I don't know, like I guess like even the roads are like very big and open, and like and McDonald's is like only a dollar. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like when people asked me at that time, when like the first year, say like people would ask like, how do you like it here? Like, is it very different? And I would say, no, it's very the same. And now looking back, I'm like, I
What were you
don't know,
thinking?
that was culture shock. But I was so ready to like get in it and like, let's go. And now like maybe like last year or so, I started to wake up and like remember that kid that I left. Maybe before I left, and connecting the now self to that self, and yeah, like slowly healing something in me that I feel had been torn from the moving and from the suddenness of it. Yeah, I
I
lost
can't.
my train of thought.
No, you're good. I think that you losing your train of thought allows me to ask this follow-up question for you because I remember being five, moving to Los Angeles, and the first thing I noticed was that I looked different from the other children. And when you're in the Philippines, everyone talks the same, everyone looks the same, everyone sort of thinks the same. Another thing that I noticed too is my family and I were the only people I knew. My aunts, my titos never came over anymore. My grandma wasn't there. And so for you, I can imagine how lonely and isolating it must have been for you to be with your grandma, to be with your like friends growing up, to be getting ready for college, and then to be with your parents who you hardly ever talk to, who are living in the States with your brother. What was that like for you?
Exactly. You see, this. Yeah. So it like my dad and my brother, the three of us, And that was really my first real interaction with my dad. It's like meeting a new, he's visited in the Philippines before, but it's always short and like, you don't really get to know your parent like that because it's a vacation. And this was the first time that I was like interacting with my father, and it was his first time interacting with his kids. So it was this like learning thing, but also that you're growing up, like I'm growing up going through 16, 17, 18. Those are hard years just personally, but also like learning about being in America and like
Oh my
learning your
gosh.
parents. So yeah, it was just kind of a lot of breakings and, lots of, I guess, like when you grow muscle, like it rips, rips, rips. It's like a lot of that.
Yeah, a lot of breakdown.
Yes.
Was music an escape for you at that time? Because to be in a new country, to not really know what's happening to you, to not have the language or capacity for it, to be at this transitional age, was music something that like helped you heal at that time?
Yeah, I think I wasn't writing my own music yet at that time, but I had songs. I always had my little, I had that like square, I think iPod,
Nano?
it's just a
I thought
square.
Nano. Yeah, I had that too. That was my first, the clip-on ones. Yeah, I had it.
And the bus, and it's just like Kelly Clarkson singing her song, or Pink singing her song, and like Bruno Mars singing his song, and everything felt okay. Music makes everything feel better and okay and soothed. And my brother too, thank God that he was there with me too during this weird phase. But yeah, music had always been there.
And then not long after, when did you start writing your own music and figuring out your sound and all of that?
I started when, so I went to nursing school and I finished nursing school. And so I was doing like my first year of nursing, I was doing like overnight shifts in the ER. And that was also very, very painful. Like, it was just like, I don't think that I will last here. Just emotionally, like, it's like you see so much, so you almost have to like clench your heart so you don't feel anything. But that action of clenching to protect yourself is also unnecessary stress.
On you.
It's like, yeah, it's like desensitizing yourself so you don't feel. It hurts too. And yeah, just like soon enough, like figuring out I can't do this. Let me see. Let me try to remember the last few chapters of my life right before I left. What was I doing? What kinds of, like remembering. And then just like remembering how I love music and how I love singing and how I've always been singing, and that's been a part of my life, like school and church and at home, singing, singing, singing. It's like a true Visayan.
Yeah, I love it. My grandpa is from Bisaya, and then my dad is from Holosolo, and my mom is from Lawag City. So my grandpa, when before he died, I remember him, he had a very like Bisayan accent.
I was reading from a book that, like, a prehistoric Philippines, and basically it's like a recording of documents and things like that. But they've described Visayans that they're always singing. The only time they're not singing is when they're asleep or sick.
I love that. I love that. It's just like melody. The beauty of a melody is that it's kind of like the soul of who someone really is. And was your family musically oriented? Were you raised where like 70s music was always blaring on? How, or was that innate for you?
I think being in the Philippines, music is such a giant part.
Yes.
Right? Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Say you have your own iPods or your phones, walk, walk, walk. And then you ride the Jeep, and the Jeep will always have some kind of, you know, pop tunes, like really loud.
Yeah.
And then you go and, you know, it's like very prominent. And then in your quiet time, there's a radio playing from over there, or you're singing yourself. It's always there. But my grandma also just loved music. Our house was made of concrete. So we would draw with like Crayolas, like the wall was filled with that. And like my grandma would like be cleaning the house, and like Diana Ross is playing.
And, like, I love
Hopelessly
that.
Devoted to You.
Yes.
You know, and she's like singing, and she would tell me like, oh, I used to have such a good voice, but I think that cold water ruined it. And, and even then I knew that that was like
a lie.
Yeah. I don't think that okay, but I'm a little afraid of cold water.
Like. Can I tell you a story?
Yeah.
When I was growing up, so my grandma moved into our house. So it was just the four of us for a really long time. And then when I was 15, I was really hard to raise. And so my grandma moved from Luwag City, Philippines, to Los Angeles, California to help raise me. And she was in her late 60s, early 70s when she moved into our home. And I taught her eventually how to use an iPhone, because being at home for a long time makes you bored. But when she didn't have an iPhone, she would just sit on the couch after she was done cleaning, and she would just start singing Ilocano love songs. And then there's something about like music and the Filipino people that I feel like it's our way of saying like, this is just who we are. This is like, and there's something so beautiful too about like 70s and 80s songs, where I was raised on that type of culture. And going back to like your creative expression, your album covers have a very 70s-esque like design, and the way that you express it in color, and the way that it's like the beat is just really like disco meets like modern contemporary music. It's like Billie Eilish meets Diana Ross, you know? Is that correct?
I love that. I'll take it.
So I feel like we're dancing around the question here, where I feel like everyone who's listening to you wants to figure out, okay, you were a nurse for your first year, and then you knew that you wanted to do music. You looked back at the chapters of your life in the Philippines. When did you bite the bullet and start writing your own music, creating your own songs, performing them on stages?
So I had moved out from my parents' house and moved into Chicago, and moved into an apartment, had two roommates, and just started to, I think that I saw the movie Begin Again.
Oh, that's a good one.
I remember that was a really great day, because that inspired me to call off.
Call off from your nursing job in the ER that you didn't like.
I called off, and I felt like the sun just like started to
shine on your shoulders.
Yeah, shine on my your shadowy spirit. And just, you know, and so I called off, and that day I was brave enough to like open my laptop and connect things, my keyboard and laptop, and like, you know, play with sounds and maybe like just say random lyrics, you know, like I played that day basically.
Mm.
And the more that I did that, I found that it was really, really fun. That was the beginnings of me learning how to like record myself and like to produce, and just like, oh, okay, so this does that, 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 that. But I kept my nursing job, And then end of 2018, I like had found a stride like in Chicago, just like going to open mics and like started to share my little songs. And I didn't even call myself, my real name's Bailey. So I went through like different stages. Like the first artist name when I was in Chicago and like I released like some songs. It was like Lemonade Pie.
Lemonade Pie. And then what was the other one?
And then the second is Bailey, which is just my real name.
Yeah.
And then my favorite one is Lottie. My favorite one and the most recent one.
I love it. I mean, I feel like Lottie fits you. Because it's fun, it's playful, it's artist-ish, like, you know.
Yeah. I feel like myself with Lottie. And I think that Bailey, like, you know, it's all like a personal issue. I feel like I'm sure it would have been fine if I... But then the weird thing is I found these songs and all this music. Like in the Lottie era, like maybe not Bad After All as Bailey, but you know, I was like in that transition phase where I felt different, needed to change something. And then the name Lottie just kind of came to me and I loved it.
And then when did you move back to Los Angeles? 'Cause you were doing open mic nights in Chicago. When did you make the move back?
To 2019. So January of 2019, moved to Los Angeles. I had a boyfriend then. He moved here first, and then when I moved, we lived in the same house together. And that's my most recent breakup. So our whole, like my whole LA life was kind of like in that home. So 2019 until like last year was when we broke up.
Ended things.
So yeah, 2019, and I guess it's 2023 now.
Wow. Yeah. You've talked about that breakup before. I heard you talk about it when we first met at Sunday Jump, the open mic night that you performed. I want to tell you what I noticed in the audience as an audience member in that place, because that day was in celebration of like Philippine American, like life and vibrancy. And there were incredible poems being written. There was music being played. There was all of this, like a lot going on. There were rappers. You were the last performer coming on. And the lights were dimmed. And as soon as you started singing, I saw like people on their phones just look up, mesmerized at your voice. But more than that, I feel like when there's silence in a room, you know that you're getting through to people. And I think that it not only speaks to your practice and your mastery of the art, but the way that you've written music, I feel like it's so universal. When someone is talented in music, when their experience is also your experience. Because when you talked about your breakup, I think that you've written, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think one of your singles is about your breakup. And it's just, I want you to talk about that. I don't want to talk about that because I feel like I listen to your songs a lot. But Lottie, tell me about like what it was like to write songs after this breakup, because it's been less than a year. And I want you to like share what that process was like, being in the writing room and just sitting with that experience.
It's been a whole year since like yesterday was the day of moving away and things.
Wow.
And I look back and I'm like, so much has changed, so much has happened, so much learning, so much pain, but, you know, here we are, and I think we're doing kind of amazing.
Doing great.
And thriving.
Yes.
Did you think, was the breakup song, if it's not clear, but
it's so catchy.
It came through so quickly, that song. I was hanging out with my friend Karina, and we usually just like catch up, and she has a piano in her place, just playing around with melodies and gibberish and words and ideas. And one of the melodies was very, very similar to, did you think I'm into, it was like, like, it's like, like, I didn't know, like, did you think was not made then, but that was the day before. And then the day after, I met with my friend Kevin, he goes by Dr. Q, and we were just catching up, and he just started playing the guitar in the song, and I started just singing the lyrics. It just kind of came out. Didn't you know how hard I tried to make this work? Like, literally how I was feeling and everything that I had to say. And then when the chorus came, it was like the melody and the feeling about the yesterday. And soon enough, it was finished. And Jay Locke, another producer friend, added his magic to the track. And it's really cool.
It's magical.
Soulful and groovy. And people that I respect and like have put their magic touch in it. So, yeah. Pain.
To share it with other people and to have them put their fingerprint on it so that it could be the best masterpiece it can be. Going into the fifth season of Yellow Chair Collective, this podcast, we talk a lot about mental health. But since the pandemic, I've noticed that I've developed such a sensitivity to human interaction. I don't know if you have. But one of the things I'm learning from you in your music writing process is that you can't really do this alone. You have to be able to collaborate with friends, with other producers, with other music artists, and being able to say, is this what I am intending to put out there, or is this still in process? And so can you tell me how you know as an artist that a music song is ready to be released? Is it a feeling? Is it like transcendental for you? What's that process like?
I think that I have a feeling when there is a really good song, and because I feel it when I sing it, I feel it, and that's all. And then you sit with these songs, you keep playing them live, and yeah, it's interesting because it's really hard to do everything yourself and be good at releasing. Also, I've learned to let that ego go. This is not about you. This is for the song. So go find some people that may also like this song, and let's make something happen. And it just so happens that I didn't have to be that active about like, hey, do you like this song? People just kind of have found me and my songs, and it really feels like this, like, okay, let's do this together. We're writing this story all together.
As a Filipina immigrant who went into nursing, who is in a stable job and is now an artist, was it hard for you to start releasing music, to start collaborating? You know, you talk about attending open mic nights and beginning to learn the art of production. Was this path hard for you to choose, or was it something that came from outside of you, you think?
I think that I really enjoyed it. Like, it felt like painting, like, except it takes me a long time. And also when you start to get better, you like care about, oh, that kind of sucks. So, you know, it takes me even a longer time. And then at some point I was just like, I think that I can be proficient at that. But I think that I have other gifts that I may be able to hone, and I know that this gift that I may have, I'll probably find people who has that gift, that maybe we can probably share and make something together. And yeah, it's like, well, that makes sense. And then stepping into that and just like, this is me and this is what I can be good at. And this is you, and this is what you're amazing at. All right.
Yeah. Is music a way, because you've talked about your breakup, you've talked about your parents' separation with the song, you know, Did You Think? You talked about, like, Not Bad After All. Is music a way for you to say things that are always on your heart as a form of healing? Or is it a closed chapter? Is it both? Like, you saying goodbye to that part of your life, that piece of your life?
It's definitely my way of getting through it. And some pains need many songs. And some pains only require one song.
That's deep. That's very poetic. No wonder why you're a music writer and an artist. Did you always know that? That was like some pains take many songs? Or did that come as a product of the suffering?
I think that I'm just figuring that out now. That I guess when you asked, it's like, yeah, I guess it's like there is a void in every song. There's a layer of healing, this layer of color painted back into the void, and another song, and it requires a lot of healing, some of these pains.
I've never heard it described in that way. Like a song puts color to the void.
Yes.
Wow. Because I picture now, as a fellow creative, like when we go through sadness or when we go through pain, it almost feels like a vortex is in our souls. And whenever I do podcasts, it's like something starts to happen to me where I notice that there's a piece of me being expressed that I haven't been able to express before. Like my curiosity is normal. My ability to take information and to summarize it and to have you say it, it's almost like an art to me. And so when you describe music, I resonate with that, because I think the art of asking a question is almost the same way. It's like being able to put texture and color into something that was once a source of pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're listening. Mm-hmm. You're very here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. I heard, who did I hear say this? I heard Lauren Daigle say this in an interview she did with Zane Lowe on Apple Music. She said that she noticed that there was a difference between an artist and a creative. And she said that she leaned more towards artistry than she did creativity. And so how she explains it is like this. A creative is someone who is able to write the song, produce it, and put it out there very quickly. They know the structure behind it, the tools behind it. Creation is almost like a tool to the art. Artistry is driven by human connection, observation, where putting out a song might take the artist longer because they're the type of person that drives a car, passes something beautiful, and they have to stop at the beautiful thing, interact with that beautiful thing, be submerged in that beautiful thing to create a song. How she describes a creative and artist is like Taylor Swift is the creative. She's almost able to take from things and go boom, 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 put out, right? Whereas Lauren Daigle talks about how it takes her 5 years to release an album because she has to be in it and process through it. What type of artist do you think you are?
Yeah, I guess
the artist.
Yeah, and I think that because I'm like very independent artist right now, it's like I'm thankful for that process because it gets me to see the cycle and phases. Like there's the going through all of it phase, and that so happens to be where I wrote a lot of songs and the music just fell out of me. And then these days is like a, I don't know, I've been really excited making like poster designs and earlier
And
too,
bags and yeah.
like t-shirt designs.
That's so awesome. I love how you're in the process. 'Cause when I first saw you perform, you were like, "Guys, I'm so excited. I made like bags for this new song that I'm releasing." And I'm like, "Oh my goodness. Like that's an artist. You know, the fact that you care about like the substance that you're putting out there, like the quality of the bag, the quality of the t-shirt, the quality of the design. Do you make your own covers for your singles?
Let's see. The first two singles, they're like pictures from like either from a show or a photo shoot. And I found this artist, Camila. I found her on Pinterest and I just like emailed her, and then it's like a collaborative thing. Like I'll send her
That's
the
awesome.
song and then I'll like just like imagine what I see. Sometimes it's just like a few colors. And she'll put her input and that comes out. And then Did You Think was also very similar. And then Not Bad After All, that was kind of hard, but I knew that I wanted it to be blue and like for it to be like, yeah, like relaxed self. Yeah. So that worked. And I was like, this is very much like a painting.
I'll ask you one last question and then I'll let you go.
Okay.
But for people listening to this podcast who love music but are too afraid to put their music out there, what advice would you give them to begin to embody their voice, to embody their sound, or to just start?
I think it might be coming from a place of starting to accept yourself and understanding that you don't have anything to prove. You have your own voice. You don't have to imitate anybody. Your breath is your voice. And just go with that. The whole releasing a song process is a separate one, but I feel like the more you do that, the more you know that this is good. And then you gain some confidence and you share it with some close friends and family and they like it. And but yeah, it just starts from that place of starting to accept yourself.
That's so good. Everything that you said in this interview was a piece of art and a piece of poetry. And I just want to acknowledge that because I know that your songs are powerful. You've released three tracks on your Spotify account. And despite it being three tracks, they resonate so deeply with me that I have no doubt that people who discover you through this interview or a live show are going to be catapulted into just inspiration. And I think that's what you do when you start to create music, Lottie. And I just want to thank you for your time. This was so good.
Thank you. This was so good. Thank you for being so good at asking. And yeah, I've never thought of these answers before. So I feel like I found some soft answers in this interview for myself.
That's awesome.